All right, Bill, the Lord bless you. May He lead you tonight as you open the Word to us.
Thank you very much, Dr. McIntyre, for that warm word of welcome. I might say again, as I said in the morning time, that I'm glad to be with you. I come from a country that has many troubles, but praise the Lord, we're seeing the hand of the Lord made bare in a day of darkness, and the Lord is blessing us and using us in His testimony for His name and for His glory back in the homeland of Ulster. I'm glad to see so many people with an Ulster background here in the meeting this evening, and I'm glad to be with you and to feel at home with you, and I trust that tonight the Lord will use the message that He has laid upon my heart to bless your soul, to save those that are unsaved, and to bring those that are backslidden in heart and life back to the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, before we turn to the Word of God tonight, let us bow briefly at the throne of grace and prayer. Let us all pray. And I'd call upon every Christian in the meeting just to lay hold of the Lord and to pray on tonight that the Lord might bless and that the Lord might undertake.
Walking back here, maybe you better have this too. This is a harness. You get this on, you'll be all right.
Thank you. Now let's pray. God, our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, as we bow this evening before Thy throne, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How we thank Thee that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. And O God, our Father, as we come now to Thee, we praise Thee from the depths of our hearts for the gift of Thy Son, who died for us upon Calvary's cruel tree. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to do us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by His precious blood. May His precious blood be upon our hearts afresh. Cleanse the very atmosphere of this meeting tonight. Deal with every part of hell and every force of darkness. Paralyze every scheme of Satan tonight. And grant, O God, that there would be liberty to preach Thy word and to exalt Thy Son and to plead with souls. God, our Father, pour out of Thy Spirit, for without Thee we can do absolutely nothing. It's not by might nor by power. It's by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we pray tonight for the Holy Ghost meeting, a time when the Spirit of God will strive with sinners and with backsliders, a time when the Spirit of God will stir the hearts of His people. O Lord, tonight we would take the words of the old hymn upon our hearts in prayer. Revive Thy work, O Lord, while here to Thee we bow. Descend, O gracious Lord, descend. O come and bless us not. Shut us in with Thyself. Bring every thought into captivity tonight to the mind of Jesus Christ. Touch my lips now with a live coal from off the altar. Make me Thy channel only. Take my lips tonight and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Give Thy people, Lord, tonight a burden for souls. And as we preach Thy word, open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears. O God, melt hardened hearts and bend stubborn wills, we pray. And tonight, O God, our Father, may there be signs following the preaching of the gospel. We thank Thee that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. May we see its power at work tonight in this gospel meeting. For Thy name and for Thy glory alone, we ask it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, I wonder, would you turn with me to that passage that Dr. McIntyre read to us earlier on, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and there are two verses in this chapter that I want to leave with you as I deal with my subject tonight. Now, my subject is twofold. In actual fact, I'm going to be dealing with two subjects. We're going to be looking at verse 11 and verse 12. And in verse 11, we read of heaven. In verse 12, we read of hell. Verses 11 and 12 of Matthew chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to keep them open before you at these verses. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now tonight I propose to talk to you a little while, first of all about heaven, and then secondly about hell. These two verses that I bring before you tonight are not of man's making, nor of man's invention. These two verses are the words and the testimony of Jesus Christ. These two verses find themselves in a very unique setting in this passage and in these verses that have been read here tonight. And the Lord Jesus Christ interrupts his discussion, as it were, with the centurion concerning the sickness of his servant, to say to all and sundry that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I'm going to draw attention tonight as we preach upon these two verses to the setting that these two verses find themselves in. Now to begin with, let me say clearly that I'm only too well aware tonight that no matter how long I may speak, no matter how well I may preach tonight, I will never cover adequately nor fully all that is to be found in these two verses. You know, as we speak of heaven, I believe that when we get there, many from this gathering, indeed all that come to heaven from this gathering, will come to me and say, "Preacher, you made a very bad job out of that verse. You didn't tell us one quarter of what heaven is." And you know, you'll feel like the Queen of Sheba when she stood before Solomon. She said the half was never told. And the old hymn writer has put it well, "The half cannot be fancied, this side the golden shore." And the same can be said of verse 12 when we come to look at hell. My, how can I, a mere mortal man tonight, explain to unsaved souls fully and adequately what it is like to perish in the darkness of a Christ rejecter's hell? But tonight, by the help of God the Holy Ghost, I'm going to attempt, by the Spirit of the Lord, to draw aside the veil a little and to bring before you some of the great issues of eternity. And let us all remember tonight that each one of us are traveling out toward eternity. And each one of us will spend eternity either in heaven above with Christ, which is far better, or in hell without him in the darkness forever. Let us remember that eternity, if such, can never be spent. Eternity rolls on and rolls on and rolls on forever and forever. Eternity, eternity, it shall never, ever be spent. And tonight we're dealing with issues that are very real and with issues that affect the whereabouts of your soul in the great eternity. Now, first of all, let's have a look at heaven as the Lord Jesus Christ sets it before us in verse 11. "I say unto you that many shall come." Now let's stop there for a few moments. The very first thing that the Lord wants us to learn about heaven tonight is the fact that there will be many people in the glory land. We have got a lot of long-faced folks. We have got a lot of down-in-the-dumps people who believe that there will only be a little company in heaven of just very few people. But my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ makes it absolutely clear that there are going to be many in the glory land. That brings before us tonight a verse over in Revelation chapter 7. And we read that there's going to be a great multitude which no man can number. And we read in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And the Bible lays emphasis upon the fact that there is going to be a great multitude in heaven. And in heaven, there are many mansions. Praise God for every child of God tonight in this gathering that can say from her heart, I have a mansion just over the hilltop. Yes, friend, we can quote that old verse that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. And my friend, tonight there's a mansion in the glory land, and it's reserved and set aside just for me, waiting for me to come and occupy it throughout the countless, countless ages of a long, long eternity. And I want to ask everyone in this meeting tonight, tell me, my friend, have you got that assurance? Do you know with full assurance of faith tonight that if you were to pass from this scene of time out into eternity, that you would be with Christ? Do you have assurance tonight that if the earthly height of your tabernacle were dissolved, that you have got a dwelling not made with hands yonder in the glory land? Tell me, my friend, tonight, are you journeying to that better land? Tell me, my friend, tonight, have you prepared to meet your God? Oh, I want to ask you a question. Will you take your place among that number, among that countless throng around the throne of glory, singing the praises of the Lamb forever? I wonder, my friend, will you take your place there, or will I search heaven in vain for you? Tell me, friend, will you be there? Will you be present when the roll is called, pure and spotless through the crimson blood? Will you answer when they call your name, saved through Jesus' blood? There's going to be a great multitude in the glory land. And the question that you've got to figure out tonight is this: will you be among that great multitude? And we read that many shall come from the east and west. The Lord talks about the east, and he talks about the west when he speaks of heaven. And I think it's strange, at least it would be strange to you and me, that he doesn't talk about the north and the south and the east and the west. Why is it that he just says the east and the west? Well, you know, the north and the south are, to all practical purposes, practically uninhabited. But I don't think that that's the reason why he just mentions the east and the west. If you know the makeup of this old world in which we live, you will realize that it's further around the world traveling east to west than it is traveling north to south. The earth is like an orange. It's squashed in a little bit at the top. And east and west are further apart than north and south. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, is standing there in the Holy Land, in the Middle East. And he's saying, they shall come from the east. They shall come from the west. Because east and west are the two points that are furthest away from him upon the face of the globe. Oh, my friend, what a wonderful lesson there is just in these two words tonight. Friend, have you got the hold of it? It doesn't matter that you're away as far as you can get from the Lord tonight. Praise God, his arm is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. My, the Lord can reach you tonight. Praise God, Paul could say, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Friend, you may be as far away from the Lord as a sinner can possibly get tonight, but praise God, he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Friend, are you far away tonight? Praise God, Jesus can reach you. Praise God, he can save you. Praise God, he can lift you tonight out of the gutters of sin, and he can save you for time and for all eternity. Yes, we read in Revelation chapter 7, 2, that they shall be there from every kindred, from every nation, from every people, from every tribe, and from every tongue. And oh, my friend, they'll be there from every country in the world that you can name. The Lord Jesus Christ sent his apostles to preach the world and enter every nation, to preach throughout the whole world, to preach the gospel to every country, to every people, to every tribe, to every tongue. And praise God, when we come to Revelation, we find that from every nation, from every tribe, and from every tongue, there come the people to worship the Lamb. And that tells me that God blesses the gospel to the salvation of precious souls in every country of the world. And they'll come from China, they'll come from Australia, they'll come from England, they'll come from Scotland, they'll come from Ulster, they'll come from America, they'll come from Brazil, they'll come from Canada, they'll come from every corner of the world. And oh, my friend, I want to ask you that as the angels gather the elect from the four corners of the earth, tell me, my friend, this evening, will they come to gather you? Oh, tell me, my friend, as they come from the different countries of the world, will you be there? My friend, as they gather them out of every nation, from the far-flung corners of this old globe, I wonder, my friend, will you be saved? I wonder, friend, will you be in the glory land with Jesus? Now let's go on. We find there's a great multitude. We find they come from the east and west. Then we find that they sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the very first thing that we notice there is this, that their names are known. Abraham is known and recognized, Isaac too, and Jacob as well. You know, my friend, that God keeps a record of our names. And at the latter day, when Jesus Christ sets up his judgment throne, I read that the book shall be opened. There's a book of life in which every man that has been born into the scene of time has been recorded. And there's the Lamb's book of life, into which every one that has been born again has been entered. And you know, my friend, you can't get into heaven unless your name is in the Lamb's book of life. And Abram's name is there. Isaac's name is there. And Jacob's name is there. Tell me, my friend, tonight, is your name down in the Lamb's book of life? You may have your name in a church roll book, but my friend, that doesn't count when it comes to the gate of heaven. Tell me tonight, is your name written down there in the Lamb's book of life? Has it been recorded in heaven by the recording angel that there was a time in your life and experience when you bowed the knee at Calvary's cross and confessed your sin and repented of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your own and your personal Savior? I want to say to you clearly tonight, friend, that if you can't look back to that experience, friend, that you can't remember a time in your life when you accepted Jesus as your own and your personal Savior, then let's be clear about it tonight. Your name is not in the Lamb's book of life. And friend, if you never come to Christ and your name has never entered there, then heaven you will never see. We're talking tonight in verse 11 about things you will never behold, about something you will never experience. Oh, my friend, ye must be born again. The Lord makes it clear that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I notice also there that it says that we shall sit down with Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to sit down. Well, I'm looking forward to that day. You know, I'm sure you've gathered already that Leif and Ulster, for Dr. Paisley and myself and our brethren in the ministry, is a very, very busy life. We work at times literally from morning until night, and sometimes the work gets so heavy upon us that we don't even see a bed sometimes for some time. And we have to work through the night and through the day again. And the Lord helps us, and the Lord is with us in the battle, and the Lord blesses us. You've got to remember how Joshua had to pray that the sun might stand still in the heavens. And there are times in this work when we could pray every day that the sun might stand still in the heavens. We could pray every day for a few more hours in the day. And so I'm looking forward to that day when I'll sit down with Abram, Isaac, and with Jacob. said in the Word of God in Hebrews that there remaineth there for the rest unto the people of God. And when we get to heaven, friend, our toil will then be o'er. We'll sin and sigh no more. Behind us all of sorrow, and not but joy before, a joy in our Redeemer as we to Him are nigh in that crowning day that's coming by and by. Praise God, there remaineth there for a rest unto the people of God. But you know, my friend, that seems strange too, doesn't it? That we should sit down with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Because I'm sure that you're like me tonight. I'm sure you're wanting to sit down with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, He's the one I'm looking for among the multitudes in glory. For He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Like Job, friend, I'm looking forward to that day when mine eyes shall behold Him and not another. I'm looking forward to that day when I'll see Him as He is, in the fullness of His glory. Someday, thank God, that we'll see Him far beyond the starry sky. Praise God, we'll see Him, and we'll look upon Him, and we'll behold His glory, and we'll be with Him throughout eternity. So, my friend, I'm looking not so much to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob, but I'm looking forward to sitting down with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it strange, isn't it remarkable, that this should be left out in this verse? I'll tell you why it's left out. I'll tell you why you won't be sitting down with the Lord Jesus Christ just at this particular place. I'll tell you why you'll be sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, when we get to glory, I read in Luke chapter 12 and verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that, listen, He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." You got the hold of it. When we get to glory, the Lord's going to welcome us home, and He's going to say, "Here, take a seat. Sit down here with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. I'm going to serve you now." My, won't that make all these years of toil in His service seem like nothing? When the Lord comes to serve you and me who have been faithful to Him, who have known Him as our own and our personal Savior. My, what a wonderful thing it's going to be to meet the Lord. What a wonderful thing it's going to be to sit down. And He's going to come forth and gird Himself and serve us and minister to us in the glory land. My friend, those of us who are saved tonight, praise God, we can look forward to that day. Doesn't matter what kind of circumstances that we find ourselves in tonight. Praise God, we're going onward to that day when we'll sit down and the Lord Himself shall come forth and serve us. Well, we've got to leave our talk there about heaven. Let's have a look very briefly at hell. My, we're turning over now the other side of the coin. We're looking at a verse that is very, very different from the verse that we have looked at. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ knew what He was about. He talked about heaven first, and then He talked about hell. And friend, you can't fully appreciate what it's like to go to hell until you get some understanding of what it's like to go to heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew what He was about. Friend, you can't understand about hell until you know what you're missing if you happen to go to a lost, Christless eternity. And I believe tonight that the Lord has set before us what it's like, something of what it's like to be in heaven with Him. I believe that we'll better understand what it's like to go now to a lost, Christless eternity. And we're coming now to verse 12. And He says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out." Who are the children of the kingdom? My, look at the very setting of these verses. The Roman centurion comes to Christ. He talks to Him about His servant that is sick. He pleads with Jesus to heal him, and Jesus offers to come and heal him. And the centurion answers, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." He said, "I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, Just speak the word, Lord. Don't come. Jesus has offered to come, but he says, Lord, don't come. I'm not worthy. Just speak the word and he'll be healed. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, verily I say unto you, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ is prompted to speak these two verses by the very faith of the Roman centurion. You see, my friend, the Roman centurion believed in Christ. But the Jews and the people of Israel were unbelievers. They rejected the Messiah. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They were a bunch of Christ rejectors. And the Lord is talking about Christ rejectors going to a lost, Christless eternity. You got the hold of it. The children of the kingdom are Christ rejectors. Yea, they had the law and the prophets. Yea, they had their Sabbaths. Yea, they had their religious rites and ceremonies and all the rest of it. But friend, they were still unbelievers going to a lost, Christless eternity. And religious rites and ceremonies can't save a tomtit, friend. And they can't save you. And my friend, you need Christ tonight. And friend, if you don't have him as your own and your personal savior, you're a lost sinner tonight. You're an unbeliever. You're a Christ rejecter. Tonight you're a candidate for the darkness of a lost eternity. Now let's look at what hell's like. We'll read, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. He mentions outer darkness. There was an old servant of God who was persecuted for his testimony in Scotland during the days of the Covenanters. Because of his faithfulness, he was put into the dungeon at Blackness. And before he died, he wrote the following words: I prefer to be in the darkness of Blackness rather than in the blackness of darkness forever. The darkness of the old dungeon was just for a little while, until he would pass away into eternity to be with his Savior whom he loved and served. But my friend, tonight the blackness of darkness in the pit of hell is for all eternity. And you know, darkness is a terrible thing. Darkness creates fear, and fear brings torment. And my friend, the outer darkness contributes to the torment in the heart of a lost soul that is hemmed in that outer darkness forever. I cannot explain to you what that outer darkness is adequately tonight, but I will tell you that the plague of darkness in the land of Egypt was a very special kind of darkness. It was a darkness that could be felt. I can feel this desk, a darkness that could be felt. I can feel this microphone. It's a darkness that can be felt, that came upon the land of Egypt. And oh, my friend, tonight, if the darkness in the land of Egypt was a darkness that could be felt, how terrifying was that darkness? How terrible, how awful was that darkness? But my friend, I believe sincerely tonight that it was nothing, nothing compared to the darkness, the outer darkness of a lost eternity. Darkness without light, a night without any dawning forever. My friend, I believe that the darkness becomes more dark when we realize that for those souls that are in the darkness of a lost eternity, there is no hope. He that being often reproved, the word says, and hardness is night, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. If you got the hold of it, it's without remedy. My friend, there's no hope for those that are lost in hell. It's forever, forever, forever. It's a pit where hope dies, but the worm dieth not, and the fire is never quenched. What an awful place! Oh, how terrible to live without hope! My hope eases the suffering upon the sick bed.
My hope eases practically every awful circumstance and situation that you and I find ourselves in, when we can hope that it will soon be over, when we can hope that it will soon be past. My friend, that helps to relieve the situation. That helps to bring comfort to our soul. That little ray of hope. But in hell there's no hope, no comfort, no end. It's forever. And so they're down there in the outer darkness. And how terrible is that darkness? Then we read also that there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As we look at the weeping, as we think tonight of those that are in a lost eternity, hard men, hard, stubborn women, sinners that refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, that sat night after night in gospel meetings like these and hardened their heart until their heart was like stone and they couldn't be moved with the preaching of the gospel. Think of them tonight. My, they're moved tonight. My, their heart is broken tonight. My, their stubborn will is broken tonight. My, the tears freely flow tonight in the darkness. And I want to speak to those tonight who sit in this gospel meeting. And you have hardened your heart. And even now you're putting up the shutters against the Lord. And you're locking the door against them tonight. The Lord's knocking loudly upon your door tonight. The Spirit of God is pleading with you to yield to Christ. And my, you're getting harder tonight. You're hardening yourself against the Lord. I want to tell you, friend, there's a day coming when you'll be broken to pieces. When you'll go to bits completely, my friend, you'll not be 5 seconds out over the abyss of a lost eternity until you're broken in the darkness. Strong men, hard women, men and women, boys and girls, hardened by the world, hardened by sin, hardened by modernism, hardened by the devil, hardened by atheism, hardened by every ism of this old world. My, they'll be broken, and they'll be broken forever. Oh, my friend, a broken spirit, who can bear it? Oh, my friend, a shattered soul and a shattered heart that's broken in sorrow and grief forever, who can bear it for 1 hour? Tell me, who amongst us can bear it for a day? Who amongst us can bear it for a week? Who amongst us can bear it for a long, long eternity? My, the hardest man can't bear it. The toughest person in the world can't bear it to be broken and broken and broken again and again forever and forever. Yes, there's weeping down there. My, there's sorrow there. And men and women weep over meetings just like this. Oh, they weep in sorrow over the fact that they didn't come to Christ. They weep and they sorrow tonight over many missed opportunities that could have been saved. The Lord was pleading with them. The Lord offered them His grace and His mercy, but they turned it away. They turned away their only hope of salvation. They rejected the only one that could save, and tonight they're lost in the darkness forever. Last of all, and I'm closing, we read that they gnash their teeth. I've already been trying tonight to make it clear to everyone that hell is a horrible place. The most horrible place that you or I can conceive of tonight. But I reckon that this last part of this verse is the most horrible thing in the whole verse, the gnashing of teeth. You know, my friend, the gnashing of teeth speaks to us of terrible pain. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but I can remember for some time observing a man whose heart had been seriously injured in an accident, and he lived with an injured heart for some years. And I can remember him 12 years afterwards or so, as he drew near to the valley of the shadow of death. He was saved. He knew the Lord as his Savior. I can remember watching that man. I can remember very clearly wondering why he used to grind and gnash his teeth. I only came to understand it later on. I'm glad tonight that I didn't understand it at the time. I just wasn't as old as I am now. I was just in my teens, but nevertheless I can remember it as clearly as if it were today. You know, my friend, his injured heart began to swell within his body. And as it swelled, it began to move to find room for itself within the rib cage. And it moved right round until it was right round in his back. It moved round in his body. It pushed its way round. My, that was pain. My, that was agony. And he ground his teeth and he gnashed his teeth. And then he went to be with the Lord. My friend, I'm not telling you any courage story tonight. For that man was my father, and he died of an injured heart. And my friend, it has brought before me very vividly the horribleness of a lost eternity. Oh, my friend, tonight, you're heading for hell. You're not saved. There's been many times when you could have been saved. God has been pleading with you. God has been speaking to you. You know the way. You know God's way of salvation, clear and plain. But tonight you're not saved. Let me warn you, friend, you're heading for an awful eternity. You're heading tonight for the worst possible place in the bottomless pit. You remember what Christ said to Capernaum? That if the mighty works were done in Capernaum, Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented long ago in dust and in ashes. And he said to the city, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you. Oh, friend, have you got the hold of the message? There are deeper depths reserved in the pit of hell for sinners that go to gospel meeting and reject the Savior. They go down deeper than the blind heathen man in his sin who knows nothing about God's way of salvation. Oh, friend, let's face the facts tonight. Deeper down than Tyre and Sidon shall the Christ rejecter go. And my friend, tonight I plead with you, you're heading for an awful, awful, awful eternity. But let me tell you that the wrath of God that was your due on Christ the Lamb was laid, who by the shedding of his blood for you, yes, you, friend, the debt he paid, Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus Christ washed it white as snow. Friend, he died for you upon the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we are healed. I wonder, friend, tonight, would you take Christ now as your Savior? Oh, friend, escape tonight the awful judgment. To the Savior flee! Come now, friend! Come now to Christ! Come now and confess your sin! God's word declares plainly that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And my friend, this evening, at the close of this meeting, Jesus invites you to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he guarantees tonight to accept you. Him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. Why not come to him now? Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Let the angels bear the tidings upward to the courts of light. Let them sing tonight with holy rapture or another soul forgiven. Just take Jesus now as your Savior. Let's bow together in prayer and let us pray.
I would just briefly call upon every child of God to pray. Let's pray tonight for sinners. Let's pray tonight for backsliders. Let's pray that God would work now. Let's pray that God would grant them repentance towards God and faith in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to pray together. And I'm going to lead souls tonight, if they will, to Christ as they sit in their seat. Then I'm going to call upon Dr. McIntyre to come up and bring us the closing hymn and bring the meeting to a close. And if he wants to invite you forward to the front, I'll leave him to invite you forward. But tonight, as God's people pray, there are men and women, boys and girls in this meeting. God, the Holy Ghost, is dealing with them. God has spoken to them tonight. It's not the first time. But God is dealing with them clearly and plainly tonight, pleading with them to come to Christ, exhorting them now to prepare to meet God. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and God's people pray, sinner friend, backslider tonight, you can come to Christ. Jesus is waiting, willing to save you. I wonder tonight, as you sit in your seat, if you'd like to be saved. I wonder, friend, would you pray with me in the quietness of your own heart the sinner's prayer? I wonder, would you pray it now? God's word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder, would you pray it with me now? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. My, that's the prayer of the publican. Pray it, friend. You'll be confessing you're a sinner. Pray it, friend, you'll be asking God for mercy. Remember, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, tonight, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Remember tonight, life at best is very brief. Remember, friend, you're not here forever. How do you know tonight but your soul may be drifting over that deadline tonight? And you need to be prepared. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, tonight, come to Christ. In the quietness of your heart, as God's people pray, pray the prayer now with me. Will you pray it, friend? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Just pray it now. I wonder now, as God's people pray, and every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I wonder tonight if you've prayed the prayer. Friend, I'd like to pray for you, to remember you. As I go away from the meeting and return home, I'd like to be remembering you at the throne of grace and prayer, that the Lord might be with you to bless you and help you. If as a sinner or a backslider you prayed the prayer tonight and came to Christ, if you're an anxious soul seeking the Lord, I wonder tonight, would you just say to the preacher, "Preacher, pray for me," by just slipping up your hand and holding it up until I tell you to take it down again? Is there one anywhere? Just slip up your hand anywhere in the gathering. Slip it right up. Get it right up so that I can see it tonight. Anywhere in the meeting. Just hold it up and I'll tell you to take it down again. Is there one anywhere? Just let me see that hand straight up, as far as you can pull it up, so that tonight I can see it. Hold it up until I tell you to take it down again. Is there one anywhere? Tonight, as the Spirit moves, friend, this is your opportunity to settle this vital question about eternity. Settle it now. Come to Christ. Make the break now. Just slip up your hand if you've prayed the prayer. Is there one anywhere? Maybe you need help tonight. Well, friend, we're your servants for Jesus' sake as the others go. We'll be happy to help you. But would you just slip up your hand? Is there one anywhere? Just get it right up, straight up above your head. One last closing, final opportunity. Is there one anywhere in the meeting? You need Christ, friend. You need to be saved. God is dealing with you. Christ is pleading. Is there one anywhere? Just slip up that hand tonight and come to Christ. One last closing opportunity. This is the last, friend. Will you not come? Will you not come tonight? Is there one? God, our Father, bless those who are near to the kingdom.
Bless them tonight with thy salvation. May thy Spirit follow them. May thy Holy Spirit bring them right through to the feet of Christ. And tonight, Lord, before this meeting closes, may they come right out for thee. Bless this people, this congregation. Bless Dr. McIntyre and the brethren and sisters that stand with him and support him. May the hand of the Lord be upon them for good in the coming days. And grant, O God, that thou wouldst bless them, not only with precious souls for their hire, but bless them in basket and in store, full measure, pressed down and running o'er, for Jesus' sake. Amen.